Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to What is Etiquette Anyway? I'm your host, Donna Paige Riley, also known as the Etiquette Lady. I hope you're having a great weekend, and I hope you had a wonderful Easter holiday on last weekend. We were off last weekend, so we're excited to be back this weekend, and I'm just so glad that each one of you are joining me. I first must start by apologizing. I'm a little under the weather, so speaking this evening is going to be a little more challenging for me because of I'm having some throat and chest issues. But I certainly did not want to cancel the show because we have such an exciting topic for tonight. I'm the owner of Pages Etiquette Seminars, and Pages is a company that specializes in personal and professional development training. I'm also the author of What is Etiquette Anyway?, a book about manners for children, but grown-ups can read it too, as well as What is Executive Etiquette Anyway?, key ingredients for building successful working relationships. These books, as well as the additional affirmation CDs, other motivational products, they may all be purchased on my website, which is www.pagesetiquette.com. Once again, that is www.pagesetiquette.com, pagesetiquette.com. Now, for the new listeners to What is Etiquette Anyway, I always like to start each show by answering the question, what is etiquette anyway? And telling you a little about the origin of the word. Now, of course, etiquette is a fancy word for manners. And the word etiquette itself comes from an old French word meaning ticket. Now, it later came to mean a prescribed routine, especially of court behavior. Charles I and II of England copied the rules of etiquette from the French court. And these rules actually became requirements of behavior everywhere. And I always like to say that if you have good etiquette, then you have the ticket to society. And also, oftentimes, this word is mispronounced. It's pronounced as etiquette. And, of course, there's a reason for that because the Q actually does make the quote sound. However, since the origin of the word etiquette comes from a French word meaning ticket, that is why the word etiquette and the Q is actually pronounced with the K sound. So, therefore, there will be no reason to mispronounce etiquette anymore and say etiquette, so it's etiquette. So that's always kind of fun. It's a fun way to remember the correct pronunciation of that word. Well, on today's show, we will discuss the wonderful world of automation. And the type of automation we're going to talk about mainly is customer service. Now, everyone has at one time or another had to make a call to conduct some business, either check on an account or just something. And let me ask you this question. Have you ever planned to make just a quick phone call and either to seek or confirm information and what you thought would take, oh, maybe just a couple of minutes at best, ended up taking over 5 minutes or perhaps 10 minutes sometimes? And by the way, that's over 5 to 10 minutes to actually speak with someone, actually to speak live with someone. And I just want to ask you, I have a little scenario for you. I want to ask you if this sounds familiar. And we're going to use a fictitious name, of course, but perhaps when you've contacted one of the companies, it may go like this. You have reached Bailey's phone service. Our menu has recently changed. Please listen to the entire menu before making your selection. Please press 1 if you know your party's extension. Press 2 if you don't know your party's extension. Press 3 if you are not sure of the department you need to speak to. Press 4 if you are a new customer. Press 5 if you are an existing customer, and, you know, so on and so on. Press 9 to return to the main menu. And then please hold to speak with a representative. Now, I am sure that that has to sound quite familiar to many of you out there. And I know it is just so irritating, you know, when I make calls and it's like, can I please speak to a live person? And I know sometimes what I try to do is I try to go past the actual prompt and press 0, only to find sometimes when I press 0, then I hear, I'm sorry, you've pressed an incorrect entry. So if you would, certainly call in and let's talk about this. Let's talk about this. Our call-in number is area code 347-324-3295. Once again, 347-324-3295. And I'd like to go to one of our callers and to see what you all think about calling, whichever company it is. Hello, caller, can you hear me?
Hello?
Hello, hi, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Great, thanks for calling. What is etiquette anyway? Could you tell me your name and where you're calling from?
My name is Sheila Stone, and I'm calling from Cleveland, Ohio.
All right, wonderful, wonderful. It's so glad to hear from you. If you would, of course, you know, we're talking about automated customer service. And I just sort of talked about one of the situations that, well, I guess one of many that I've run into. So just kind of give me your opinion on, you know, automated customer service.
Hi. First of all, I'd like to commend you for doing a talk show in reference to customer service, because it's such a pet peeve of mine that when I try to call and get a live person on the phone, it's just so hard and irritating to get a live person on the phone. And because everything has been so outsourced, the customer service, telemarketing, thus far, so on and so forth, with all these big companies, we need to bring back the personal touch in customer service. Because if a receptionist answers the phone and it first represents the company, we like to speak to her to get that smile coming across the airway, you know, the phone, that lets us know that, hey, we actually can get some help with what's going on with what we need, or we can actually get a question answered directly into what our problem is, as opposed to going through all that irritating, press 1 for this, press 2 for that, press 0 is not available, and you can never talk to somebody. And then if you get to a general mailbox to leave a message, you never get a return call. It's just so irritating. So if the companies can just come back to the personal touch, that would really be great.
Absolutely. Well, you've actually covered, you know, quite a bit in what you said. First of all, just, you know, getting past the irritation of trying to get to someone. And oftentimes, in my opinion, nowadays, you know, if you'd rather not speak with anyone, that would be great to go online and conduct the business, because we already know once you go online, you know, to either make a payment or to inquire, then you already know you're not going to speak with someone. But I agree that the best customer service really is always personal, or is at least it's designed to be, you know, to have more personal touch. So I certainly agree with you. Have you noticed any, I guess, any businesses over another business, not necessarily the names of the business, but I guess I should say types of business that seem, you know, to be a little more frequent with, you know, the million prompts?
Well, there are loads of businesses that I call, and one in particular, like you said, you don't want any names, but I work for this company where people even go on the internet and get impersonal customer service through the internet, where the system would lock them out the system, and they still have to wind up calling a 1-800 number to get someone, and then they come out where the 1-800 number is not acceptable for them, and then they have to wind up still sending a letter. And with most companies going paperless, you know, it's like it's a waste of time. I should just cut out everybody and just went straight toward the letter and just got the address off of the internet. So as far as companies not providing the word, providing customer service to their customers, it's not customer service. And that's, okay, so maybe we didn't need to name it something else, because it's like no customer service. It's find it on your own.
Interesting. And every time I hear the term customer no service, Clark Howard, who's a major consumer advocate and reporter, he always uses that term in reference to customer service, because customer no service, I think that really wraps it up, because you're really not getting any service. And certainly, you know, what happens is that if you're trying to provide the best service for your customers, then you really have to look at all the different dynamics that it takes to do that. Sheila, if you will, can you stay with us for a minute? And I want to try to join. I'm trying to bring as many callers on as I can this evening, because this is definitely a hot topic and a lot of people have a lot to say. So can you stay with us?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, and I'll let me see if I can get someone else on, too, as well.
Hello?
Okay, hello, caller. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Hi, thanks so much for calling What is Etiquette Anyway? Could you tell everyone your name and where you're calling from?
This is Melva, and I'm calling from Stockbridge, Georgia.
Okay, wonderful. It is so great to have you join us, and, you know, I'm sure you've heard the comments so far about the customer service featuring the automation of customer service, and, you know, would you take time and just kind of share some of your thoughts on this topic?
Well, some of my thoughts are the automation has taken a lot of the personal touch out of contacting businesses. When you call, you get stuck on 1, 2, 3, 4, sometimes even 5 drops before you actually get to speak to a person, which inevitably is whom you needed to speak to in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
You have to go through all the levels in order just to get to where you need to be. And sometimes that can be rather time-consuming. I have actually fallen asleep waiting to get to speak to someone.
Wow. And that says a lot in itself, because it really can be, you know, very time-consuming. And it's unfortunate, because part of me opening up was saying a lot of times you want to go on and you're thinking you're going to just make this quick call. I mean, you're on a schedule, you're trying to make a quick call, take care of this, and then, like you said, sometimes you're on hold and you can fall asleep because it's taking so long, especially if it's something that, you know, you really have to get done. And so, yeah, that is quite interesting. And now I do want to say that there are some companies that, you know, they have the minimal automation, you know, which is fine. If it can route you directly to someone, that's the whole point of making sure that when your customers are calling in, then they can be provided with prompts service. And that's basically, you know, the importance of the automation is, you know, let's make sure that they can be routed to where they need to go, and it can be, you know, done expediently. You know, that is quite interesting. I thank you so much for your comment. Would you like to, you know, and I know we can all go on and on about that. And I am so sorry. I meant to ask you, Melvin, if you could just please say hi. Sheila's on the line as well, and if you could just say hi to her. She's still on with us.
Hi, Sheila.
Hi, Melvin. Can I add some nice to meet you or talk to you? I'm very glad that this etiquette talk show is on from the Etiquette Lady. I see her on the internet. I want to add something also to the comment that you made about the no personal customer service. It also on the automated customer service, if you press the wrong number, you always have to usually start over or your call gets dropped or somebody comes on and say, well, you got 30 minutes before they answer your call or the next available operator when you do press that zero. So I don't. How can we get around all of this automated customer service from most of these major companies?
Sure. And, you know, I think that may be the question of the evening is how can we get around it? And if there's anyone out there listening that works directly in customer service and you know your company has an automated system, if you would be, you know, willing to call in and discuss it so we can just, you know, obviously more than likely, I guess the larger the companies are, it's probably not going away, but how can we look at making this just very expedient? And, you know, a lot of times, as I said, with major companies, I believe they think they can field more calls if you're coming into the switchboard through automation, and then it would actually filter to the person, you know, that it needs to go to. But, you know, as far as the old, I guess you can call it the old mom-and-pop businesses, if you will, when you call a number, someone picks it up. And I don't know if you all feel like I do, but oftentimes if I call a company and someone picks the phone up, I jump because, you know, I'm kind of shocked. You know,
I do too.
I do too.
Yeah. Really? Someone? Wow. You know. So.
Well, I had to ask one company when I called them, like, is this a real person? And they was like, yes, but not talking to an answering machine.
This is
that's
true.
Correct. That's
now,
correct.
I'd like to ask.
Certainly, go right ahead.
Okay, this is Mel. I'd like to add, now, there are some companies that will offer you the options of leaving your number and your name, and they will have someone call you back, and also they will ask you what time would you like to be called. Now, sometimes, you know, it might not be the same day, but you can tell them, well, call me Monday at such and such a time, and they usually are pretty good about that. But the thing is, hopefully your problem, if it's a problem that you're calling about, hopefully you can wait that long
to get
a call back. But sometimes that's one way to save time from sitting on the phone, if that particular company offers that feature.
Mm-hmm. That is correct. Can I ask something to Melvin?
But when you call those companies, the first thing, when you call a 1-800 number, don't you want immediate assistance then as opposed to them calling you back?
This is true.
That's why you're calling. Because you want help right now, which is good, but I haven't ran into a company that will say, well, leave your name and number other than in an automated system saying call you back. It'll be like 24 to 48 hours. So if you got that, girl, you were lucky.
I too am familiar with a company as well that, you know, I've called before, and they say they'll tell you, well, you may receive a call back in 8 minutes or, you know, if you leave your name and number, then we can call you back. And that has seemed to be pretty efficient. But going back to what Sheila said, of course, you know, you may or may not have time for that. And when you're calling, you want to have that handled right away. If you're sitting perhaps, you know, and you're at your desk and, you know, and you have a little time and you know you're going to be at the telephones, and that's, you know, that would certainly work out. So, you know, I guess that being an option is certainly wonderful. Ladies, I thank you so much for calling. I'm also, I do have another caller as well I want to try to pull in with us as well. I knew that our lines would blow up tonight because this is certainly an important topic. And just sort of talking about ways that it can be effective, because it doesn't seem like it's going to go anywhere. So, therefore, you know, I guess we have to discuss it. A caller, can you hear me?
Yes,
hello?
I can. Hello?
Yeah, hi. How are you?
Hi, how are you? Hi, ladies. How are you?
Hello.
Can you please tell us your name and where you're calling from?
My name is Denise Harding. I'm calling from Latonia, Georgia.
Okay, great, great. And if we just, you said hello already to Sheila and Melba, and I'm pretty sure that you've heard the conversation that we're talking about with the automated customer service, and just kind of want to get your thoughts on that as well.
Well, I certainly agree with all of you in that it is very inconvenient when you're trying to get something done in a timely manner and something that may be very important at the time. And I know that with a lot of companies, they feel that this is a faster way for, again, like you said, Donna, for customers to be to get their problems resolved. But to me, it's almost like fast food. I don't know if you ever go through the drive-through that's supposed to be fast food, and it never really seems to be. It was just a concept. But I do think that a lot of companies will listen to their customers. So voicing your opinion, either by calling or writing, may not get quick results, but I do think that companies listen. I work for a major retailer in home improvement, and our competitor has gotten away from customer service in-store over the past few years, and recently have changed some of their customer service training and customer service attention as far as customers are concerned. They're finding that having more people and having people there for their customers in-store is a better way to deal with customers. So I think that if people voice their opinion, either personally, by phone or email, that it could possibly change the way that some companies handle us through their automated services.
I agree. That's a wonderful point. And quite naturally, you know, the best way to handle customer service is generally face-to-face.
Yeah.
And we've talked about this in the past, about face-to-face contact, but make sure that you are indeed providing that good customer service as well. And you brought out a good point that, you know, most of the companies are willing to listen. You know, I remember back years ago, in any type of customer service training, we used to learn that the customer is always right. Now,
that is still correct.
Right. You know, and adding this part, and you can tell me, Denise, if this is accurate or not, but adding this part, the customer is always right, right? And oftentimes there may not be, but, you know, still the concept is, you know, the customer is always right. And sometimes
yes, that is absolutely true, Donna. It is.
Mm-hmm.
Even when customers may sound a little bit unreasonable, still businesses will accommodate because they don't want to lose the business.
Exactly.
So in essence, yes, the customer is always right.
Mm-hmm. And talk about a little bit, say if you have a customer, and we could have a customer, since we're talking about on the phone and automation, you know, say if you've had someone that tries to get to you, Denise, and the other ladies, you can chime in because this could have been you. You had someone that tried to get to you, and they went through so many prompts, and by the time they get to you, they are stressed out and really a little upset because it's taken so long, and now that they finally have you on the line, what's the best way to treat this person now that they finally have gotten to you, if that's the case?
Well, actually, I think apologizing is one good way to deal with someone who's a little bit frustrated and listen to them as they vent about the situation and let them know that you will report their feelings to the powers that be in hopes that it would improve the automated service or improve the service as well overall. So I think listening is a good way and being very empathetic at the same time.
Mm-hmm. And any other ladies that are on, have you ever found yourself in that position when by the time you actually got to the person you needed to speak to, you know, you were mm-hmm. like, okay, you know, finally. And
well, Ms. Donna, this is Sheila.
Yes.
Hey, yes, I agree with what Denise says, and I have been in that position. But if you're frustrated and then the person finally answers the phone, you have to amplify your customer service, because even though you are a customer and you're still frustrated when somebody finally answers the phone, you can't take it out of them, because it's an automated system and they're just working there and they're just doing their job. So I still try to keep my composure when I do get to that person, and I do express my concerns with the tone of voice where they will see that, okay, the system doesn't work, but we didn't make the system. So that's, and I have had one where they was like, well, just apologetic, and it calms me down, because they do provide a little customer service, but it's the frustration of getting there. So what Denise said, I do agree with her. With her working for a major chain, letters are good. Maybe I'll start writing letters more often, even if I don't get a response right away, but I'll feel better knowing that I sent that letter, and maybe somebody, whoever opens it, may pass it on to the right person.
Absolutely, and I agree with that. I'm all for, you know, writing letters of complaint, and as I said before on this show, I'm all for writing letters when you actually receive wonderful and great customer service, because
right.
there are a lot of
yes,
companies.
I agree with that.
A lot of customer service, and sometimes, you know, we want to, you know, kind of complain a little more than we can get praise. So I always try to make that balance and say, if someone
mm-hmm.
has provided you with great customer service, to make sure that you share that as well and let them know and write a letter back perhaps as well. Well, ladies,
yeah.
This has been such an interesting evening. It's been a great topic. I apologize again. I'm a little under the weather, and I apologize. I've coughed a few times, but trying to make sure I can continue talking. I would just like to say that, unfortunately, we were unable to get all the callers on, but I do want to say, since we've ran out of time, I do want to say thank you, callers, and I'd like to say please certainly, you know, join us every Sunday from 7:30 to 8 p.m. Again, the name of the show is What is Etiquette Anyway? Again, I'm your host, Donna Paige Riley. I thank you all so much for joining me. And at the end of my show, I always like to just remind people to always remember to, you know, feel good about yourself, be considerate of others, and be the best you can be. Feel good about yourself. And oftentimes, if you don't feel good about yourself, or you feel that you've gotten out of bed on the wrong side, then, you know, you're not going to be considerate of others. So it actually works in order. Feel good about yourself. Be considerate of others. And, of course, if you're not considerate of others, then there's no way that you can be the best that you can be. So once again, you've been listening to What is Etiquette Anyway? And I thank you all for joining us this evening. Please join us every Sunday from 7:30 to 8 p.m. Feel free to call in, share your views with us. We certainly appreciate you, and visit our website, too, www.pagesetiquette.com. Once again, www.pagesetiquette.com. Thank you for joining us. Have a wonderful evening.
Blog Talk Radio.